I've been breastfeeding all over Oklahoma. Everybody's seen me breastfeed.
Oh, yeah.
And I am proud of that. Honestly, I don't even care. And it's like beautiful too. My daughter's 15 months old, but it's like for her, there's like no inhibitions, right? It's like, oh, booby now. Like they don't, it's just so natural and normal. And it's just so cool to see. And it's, I mean, it's sad that America's like that. And I know the rest of the world probably in some places are have it right, but we definitely don't.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, Emily, for coming on. We're so excited to have you today. I know you're also very pregnant, so I appreciate you taking the time to do this. But yeah, let's go ahead and just hear a little bit of your background and how you got into everything.
Sure. My name's Emily Swan. I'm a IBCLC and originally a nurse, but I became an IBCLC after I had my daughter and then kind of fell into more like just general holistic infant and toddler wellness. But it all came from just like a complete lack of like preparedness with my firstborn and lack of understanding of what it means to really step into a more mature matriarchal role, which came up with a lot of like birth issues, breastfeeding issues, just the classic like victim narrative of like everything is happening to me. It's so unfair. I read all the books and like nothing's going my way. And so there were a lot of women that really walked me through the process of like being more mature in that area and having more personal responsibility, which then led me to ultimately becoming a lactation consultant after working with my mentor who was a lactation consultant. She had said, you should totally pursue this. And I was like, no, I'm having a miserable time breastfeeding. Why would I sign up for that? But I'm so glad I did. So that kind of jump started me into my work for sure.
That's awesome. I feel like every mom that like gets into some sort of form of birth work had a traumatic experience that like pushed them into it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate that that happened, but like it's beautiful that we can like learn and evolve from it too.
Absolutely.
I feel like that happens just in like the more holistic wellness space. Like nobody just wakes up one day and they're like, yeah, I want to be different. I want to be crunchy. I want to go against the norm. Like all of those. I feel like something happens to us, whether it's before pregnancy or whatnot, where we're just like completely changed forever and we have to change our entire way of living. And I think people who don't understand that are the people who are lucky enough to have not had something traumatic happen yet to them.
Or they haven't like put it together that there is a different option. Like you know someone that got like cancer and then they had a tough pregnancy and then they had a tough after pregnancy. And it's like, they're not clicking any of these, at least in my opinion, things together. Not that it's for me to say, but I also think it goes back to our mothers too. Like, you know, what we learned growing up is so strong and to really go against that is like a really big deal, but it is so interesting. I always joke that before really during my pregnancy with my first, I remember I went on a walk with a friend and she was saying, I heard, you know, this person doesn't vaccinate their children. And I was like, they should go to jail. Like they should go to jail. And it was so crazy because I really believed that. And then I wouldn't have changed my mind unless my daughter had an experience after her first two rounds of vaccines where I was like, well, actually, I don't think I align with this, but I would have never changed my mind unless something happened to me and my family.
That was the exact situation with me too. Before I became a mom, I was like, ew, gross. People don't vaccinate their kids. Like, you're disgusting. Yeah. I remember my friend I worked with at a daycare, she didn't vax her kids. And it was right after I had my son. And I was like, she wanted to hold my son. And I was like, disgusted. I was like, why would I? Like, I was just so uneducated, like honestly dumb. Like I was just regurgitating things that I saw on the internet. I thought I had all the answers. Like, and then when my son had an injury as well, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, my life is forever changed.
Yeah.
And like, I started to deep dive in the research and I remember thinking like, am I the crazy one? Like, why is nobody else putting these things together? And like, why is everyone just blindly trusting their pediatrician? And I'm not blaming them because I did too. But once that happened to my son, I was like, my whole world will never be the same. And it, like my family, because my sister had babies right around the same time. She had one 9 months before me and 4 months after me. And I remember being like, Melissa, you have to look into this. And her husband were like, you have five heads. Like, you are legitimately insane. Mm-hmm. And then their daughters develop PFIs, I believe it is. Like, they had insane food allergies, eczema, sick chronically, constantly, antibiotics, like six rounds of antibiotics before they're one. Like, just, and then I was like, you guys, look into the shots. And once my brother-in-law did, they're like, oh my God, Kate was right this whole time. Like, wow. You're not crazy. He just sent me an article the other day and he was like, thank God you randomly turned anti-vax that one day when you were 23 because you saved our kids. Because now they like, difference. Yeah, it's crazy. And like now they're completely like healthy, never have eczema, never have to take antibiotics. But until something happens to your own kids or yourself, really, like you just don't really have the opportunity. Unless you're lucky, like Jordan, where like she knew before she had her daughter, like what she was going to do.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that's okay. Now you know for moving forward for your next ones. But yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just crazy to me that like, it's like everything, even with breastfeeding, like from the moment you're pregnant, people are already pushing formula because you have to go back to work or whatever. Like, oh, like breastfeeding selfish because other people can't feed the baby. And it's like all these things just add up and you're like totally just believing it the whole time because that's what everybody does. And then you give birth in the hospital and they're like, oh, just top them off with a little formula because that's gonna make their weight go back up or whatever. And like no one's there to support the crazy people that are doing the opposite of everything. So yeah, it's too bad.
The messaging is extremely strong, especially like the trickle down effect from the consumer baby industry, obviously the big formula companies, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the feminist movement. I mean, the like trickle down effect of all of these things has ultimately led to our exclusive breastfeeding rates at 6 months being 20%, which is so horrifically low.
Well, also it's like, we need to stop coddling and holding mom's hands and being like, do whatever's best for you and your mental health. Your baby is just as loved as a breastfed baby. And it's like, yeah, no shit. But like, we have to be giving parents facts. Nobody, when I was pregnant, I was hardcore going to formula feed because nobody told me like, hey, Kate, there's a huge difference in breastfeeding and formula feeding. And I'm not saying, well, one type of mom is better than the other. It's just like scientifically, the facts are there, whether it hurts your feelings or not, breastfeeding is superior in absolutely every aspect. And everyone was just holding my hand like, you should just formula feed. It's better for your mental health. Like your baby will love you just as much as if you were to breastfeed. And I remember I pumped in the hospital to induce. And when I saw the milk I produced, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this for my baby. But the lack of support I had was absolutely insane. I remember lactation consultant came in, couldn't get him to latch. And she was just like, what do you want to do? Do you just want formula? Like, and I was just like, well, I don't want him crying. So I guess I'll have to do formula once the milk I had pumped to induce is gone. And like, thankfully I learned how to pump myself and I did it for 2 years, but it's like just the absolute lack of education and resources. If you don't have the money, which I did not have the money to hire someone to help me with breastfeeding, you're screwed. Like I had to pump and thankfully I just learned how to pump on my own, but like I didn't have the resources to pay someone to help me to learn how to latch my baby. And so he just never latched. And it's just like an unfair advantage almost if you don't have that money to get help. And I remember when I was looking at the formula options that I was on WIC at the time, and it was like my options were just the bottom of the barrel. And again, I'm not trying to offend parents, but there are like a tier of worse to better formulas. Mm-hmm. Obviously nothing is going to compare to breast milk, but like I remember my only options were like the Similac and, you know, none of the organic ones, none of the goat milk ones. And I was just like, I guess I'll pump for forever because like I don't want to give him the crappy formula, but I can't afford to be getting the European, you know. It's just like we are set up as mothers to fail, and it's not the mom's fault necessarily. It's the system of, you know, go back to work, don't have a, I don't know. It's just, I could go on a rant for this for days, but it's just truly insane.
It's insane. I was interviewed yesterday for a podcast and she was like saying that she had seen on Instagram that I don't like talk about the benefits of breastfeeding much. And I was like, because I don't even feel like that is where we should be talking right now. Like that should be so obvious. It's not. And she's right. I should talk about it more, but in my brain, it's hard for me to think of content that's like, breast milk is better because it's like, of course it is, but you're right. There are people that just truly still, I mean, pediatricians say that formula is just as good as breast milk. And it's like, it's so interesting because I was telling her, like, not only is breast milk just vastly superior nutritionally, but then you have the like connection that is super important. And even if you're pumping, you have the oxytocin that gets raised in you by pumping, and babies are just, you know, an extension of their mother. So they get an increase in oxytocin. Even if you're pumping, they just have to be near you, you know, and then the like closeness connection, the immunity. I mean, it's just honestly crazy that it's not at this point, like believed that it's the same. And there was this meme that circled around for a really long time of two kids going down the slide. And it was like, they both end up eating McDonald's French fries off the floor of the car. So like, who cares? And me and this girl who I know who's a lactation consultant as well, we were like, first of all, that's not true. And second of all, what kind of messaging have we gotten to where that is the what we want to communicate to moms is not only does it not matter if you breastfeed or not, but then just go ahead and tack on McDonald's French fries at the end. Like, it's just crazy that that's the kind of like information that we're getting versus, like you said, some actually good information. And really, there is a level of like, I mean, you obviously did it of personal responsibility that I like to tell moms too. It's like, I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you, but I cannot come over and breastfeed your baby for you every day. You have to want to breastfeed. You have to want to go against the grain a little bit because they really don't want us to breastfeed at this point. And so you're kind of up against a like uphill battle where you need to really want it and really put in the work. Because if you go to anyone else for the most part and say, oh, this is hard, they are going to offer you a different solution. And in a vulnerable postpartum state, it might look like a very desirable option.
Well, not to mention too, if you were to start posting about the benefits of breast milk, how angry you would make the internet. Like, why are women,
your mom shaming.
It's like so sad that we've gotten to this. It's like, I totally blame the, you know, fed is best movement. It's like, that isn't doing anybody any benefits. And I know that people formula feed in like this name of mental health, but like there's benefits mentally for breastfeeding, right? Like for both mom and baby.
Well, and it's such an isolated variable. Like they're looking at just formula versus breast milk. Like, are the babies sleeping with the mom? Because that is a huge like red flag for mental health concerns if the baby's in another room, because our bodies don't necessarily understand that we are sensing danger because our baby's away from us, because we're modern and so we can conceptualize these things. But truly, we're animals, and so our body is going danger, 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 and it's presenting as postpartum anxiety and depression, and we're not putting two and two together that it's because the baby's far away from us. And so our brain's literally saying, a wolf is going to come eat my baby because I can't see them. And so, yeah, it's just so ridiculous. The Fed is Best campaign is truly like a massive detriment to women's health and to infant health, and all in the name of like not putting moms like under all this pressure. And it's like, okay, well, let's take the pressure off from other stuff, not from breastfeeding. Let's take the pressure off moms to have to go back to work so soon, and instead like provide education on, even if your employer is saying like you have to come back, like that's a big choice, but you could say no. Like, you can make that choice and then reapply for jobs at 6 months postpartum when breastfeeding is well established. So there's just a lack of education for sure.
Also, going back to like, you know, the Fed is Best movement and like we should, you know, whatever moms want, need, cater to them. When we become moms, and I'm saying again, this is with a grain of salt because I feel like if you could have a bad postpartum experience, I experienced it. Okay. We can either choose to be a victim to our circumstances in our situation. Like, I had every odd thrown against me, and not to be like poor me, because I have just made something out of it. So, right, I was poor as shit. Okay. I made $7 an hour. I was on WIC. I was on food stamps. I went back to work at 6 weeks. Like, I couldn't get my kid to latch. I couldn't pay for the lactation consultant to come. And it's like, I could have absolutely chosen to be like, I am a victim of my circumstances and my situation. I am going to formula feed. I am going to do the cry it out. I am going to stick him in his own room. But it's like, I had that choice, and I knew in my head, one day things are going to get better. So why not just stick it out? And I understand moms could listen to this and say, but my mental health, you don't get it. My mental health too, right? Like, I at one point was like, I don't think I the baby either needs to be given up for adoption or like someone's going to have to take care of it, because I was like, I can't be on the earth any longer because of my mental health. So like, if anyone gets it, guys, I get it. But I knew in the back of my head, one day it has to get better, and I don't want to regret not trying to give my baby breast milk. And like, was I successful in breastfeeding? No. But was I successful in pumping? Yes. And it's like, even if your circumstances don't look ideal, and I get we are set up for failure, but I think the system sets us up to have that victim mindset so hard that it's like, poor you, poor mom, she has the mental load of everything. And it's like, yeah, we do have the mental load of everything, but I truly believe God designed us that we can like push through and prosper and get through it. And we just need more people. Like, when I have moms DM me, I will be brutally, when they say, can I have recommendations on formula? I'm brutally honest. And I just say, when they say like, what formula would you use? I say none. Like I would make it work. If I could not breastfeed, I would pump. And if I could not pump, I would find a mom in a crunchy mom group, and I would ask them for donor milk, and I would give them bags in placement. And if I couldn't do that, I would do some type of like homemade raw formula. I think there's so many things we could do before we have to get to the point of formula. And again, I'm not shaming anyone who uses formula. I would never be able to tell, but like, we also have to put the facts on the table. Not only is it amazing for baby, it's shutting off cancer cells for baby. It's also preventing you or lowering your risk for breast cancer as a mom. And just like, so many variables go into this besides just your baby having a full tummy. And I think we've gotten to the point, we have totally wiped the slate of telling moms any sort of truth. And we're just like, here, do what's best for your baby. Yeah,
we're tiptoeing. But they mm-hmm. also want us to be in that victim mindset, because then we're more likely to outsource, which means an exchange mm-hmm. of financial incentives. And so the like, literally by empowering women to breastfeed, not only are you obviously taking away the financial incentives of bottles, formula, pacifiers, like all of the things that just breastfeeding does in and of itself, like you also are taking away all the potential monetary gain of women needing to outsource. Because truly what happens when women kind of cross that barrier, especially with their first baby, of like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to breastfeed, it's so hard, but then they do it, there is a level of empowerment and confidence that comes that like trickles into a lot of other things we do as moms, where it's like, I don't need to pay someone to do XYZ, like I've got this, you know? And so the people are very aware of that, of like giving women back their power. It's the same thing with birth. It's the same thing with breastfeeding. It's the same reason why the pediatrician visits, even though they're not legally required, everyone thinks they're kind of required. And so like, when people hear that my kids don't go to a pediatrician, they're like, oh my gosh, what about the paper trail? What about? And I'm like, there's no law that they have to go, but we believe that it is, so that we are in that victim triangle where like, I can't do it, I need to go get the approval from XYZ, or they're going to come take my kids. And it's like, that's totally not true. That's like, that's something that they have created. That's not true. So yeah, it's super interesting. I feel really bad for first time moms that like really do want to breastfeed, but then end up in a situation where they feel like they don't know like what the next steps are. Cause that I think is the hardest thing, because there are a lot of women that truly don't care, and that's, you know, that's not bothering them as much, at least at first. But the women that really do want to breastfeed and then have like, kind of like you said, like an experience where it's like, well, I don't know what my next steps are, like maybe WIC, or maybe, you know, just not having good people in their area, not having a good community, not knowing like what lactation consultants in their area are going to be beneficial for them. So that is a super tough situation to be in as well.
What are some good steps? Like, how should a woman set herself up for success with breastfeeding?
The best thing that women can do is meet with a lactation consultant prenatally. Most lactation consultants can meet with you prenatally, and it can be covered by insurance. I say that, I don't take insurance anymore, but most people do. And so just meeting with someone to establish a relationship and ask your questions, make some sort of plan. I mean, we do a lot of preparation for birth, albeit it doesn't seem like it's helping much, you know, for a lot of women right now, but like, we don't do any preparation for breastfeeding. We don't even know. Most of us are 90s babies, and in the 90s, they told our moms, the pediatricians, that we would eat every 4 hours on a schedule. And so like, that is what we grew up with. Most of us ended up bottle feeding at a certain point. And we don't actually know what is biologically normal to expect from breastfeeding. So you got moms that like are trying and then their baby's nursed and then they want to nurse 30 minutes later. So they think there's something wrong and then they go down this rabbit hole. And so just having a biologically appropriate expectation of what that situation is going to look like, having someone tell you prenatally, most lactation consultants will, to have your baby at least in your room with you when you get home from the hospital or from your home birth. Those things are really helpful. Just these very little things that we can like educate on, but women have to start seeking it out prenatally. I think that that is a responsibility of women that we are just totally sacrificing. And we're just kind of waiting for someone to come save us in the hospital. And no offense to those hospital lactation consultants, they just are so busy. They have too many people to see. So they're not going to help you very much, you know? So I think having that education prenatally is so important.
I know they're so busy, but they also are like, have to give what the hospital is telling them. Like, even if they have better intentions than what the hospital, they're like, you know, lawfully inclined to be giving the hospital information. But yeah. I always say on women's registries, baby registries, ask for a lactation fund, like a fund for lactation consulting. You don't need the fancy crib and the bassinet and all that. Just ask for the education, like a doula, lactation consultant, anything like that. That's going to set you up for success, books, whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be so nice if we saw like a massive change shift from like baby showers being like stuff to like education, books, meals. You know, we just had My Blessing Way a couple weeks ago and everyone brought a freezer meal to put in my deep freezer. Like, those are the things that are helpful. And Amazon will bring you whatever baby crap you need the next day. If you like get home and you're like, oh, we actually do need blah, blah, blah. It's like, fine. Amazon will bring it the next day. So like, ask for Amazon gift cards, ask for lactation support, like as a gift, like make your plans. But too often, I think, and this is going to sound very unsupportive of women, but it's just something I've noticed over the years, is too often we get into postpartum. Usually for the first time moms, for some reason, it seems like also there's like a, you know, birth trauma or like things didn't go as planned. So we're all frazzled. The husbands are like completely lost. They're like, what are we even doing here? Why is she crying all the time? They want to breast. And like, that is a problem that that woman put herself in that she could have prevented by just meeting with a lactation consultant prenatally or reading a couple books, like just something where they have like a biologically appropriate expectation of what's going to happen. I know Taylor and I have on our podcast, one of the episodes, we talk about like preconception or prenatal time. Like, what can you do? So like, make sure your husband knows what his role is, because they don't know. I remember day 11 with my daughter, I went into another room to pretty much cry into a pillow because it was so stressful feeding her. And he was like, I'm going to help. And he bottle fed her. And I was like, no, like, but he didn't know. I never told him what his role was. So he just saw that like everything was crumbling and was like, let me try and help. So having jobs for the husbands, having plans for friends, like having a lactation consultant like set up. To your point, Kate, there are a lot of lactation consultants that will see a few women a year for no charge. Like, I know I've done that. There are plenty in my area that will post in the Facebook page and say, I have a mom, she's on WIC or welfare, because their insurance doesn't, Medicaid doesn't cover the same visits. And so they'll post around and say, like, can anyone go see her? Is she super close to anyone? Can you just go? And like, or we'll send students. That's a great opportunity for it. But then you're at least having some help, you know? So it's important to ask for what we need, is what my main point is.
Do you think, I also get this message in my DMs all the time, when moms, before they have their baby, they say, I want to have formula on hand in case breastfeeding doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm always, in my head, I'm just like,
why?
You're already setting yourself up for failure, because you're assuming you're just going to fall back on the formula. Like, oh my gosh, baby is fussy, baby is crying, he always wants to latch, like, I need the formula. What are your thoughts? What do you tell moms who say those things?
Yeah. I honestly don't get that a lot. I have such a niche like group of women that I serve now because of my Instagram. But yeah, it's not going to serve. First of all, the grocery store 2 seconds down the road has formula. So like, it's not even like a reality that like needs to be like entertained. And also then like, you're trying to fail. Like, you're like in an effort to say like, I'm trying, or like women do it with like, they'll be like, I don't want to have too high of expectations so that I am disappointed. It's like, No, map out what you want. Like, talk about what you want. Like, bring that into existence. Go see. And also, I will just say, too, like, from a physical standpoint, from a lactation standpoint, babies have a very, very generous window of being able to try. Like, 2 full weeks, they can gain no weight. And, like, I still am not, I usually say, don't go to the pediatrician yet. Just, like, let me, like, walk you, I'll keep weighing them. I'll, you know, do all the things with you. I'll listen to their lungs. I'll do all the things. Don't go to the pediatrician just yet until we get it under control. But they have a very generous window of like, let's keep trying before we even remotely are talking about formula. We're talking about pumping way before that. We're talking like so many things before formula, like you said, like, and then when we are talking about formula, we're talking about a lot of other things before we're talking about Similac. So there's just a lot of steps that happen before that. So it's not going to be helpful. It'd be the same as like wanting a home birth and then packing a just in case hospital bag. It's like, well, girl, you're going to the hospital. Like, you have fun on your hospital trip because that's where you're going. So yeah, I would just, it's not going to serve you. It's not going to serve you too. My brother and sister just had their first baby and my dad texted me and was like, I went over to get their dog. They went into labor and he said, I went over to get their dog and they have all the bottles laying on the counter drying. And I was like, why? Like, why? You know, and so in this effort to be prepared, we're really just sending a really strong message of like, what's going to be the outcome?
I know a lot of women are probably listening to that and thinking like, oh my gosh, but what if my baby's not getting enough? Because I know that's like the biggest concern,
that is the biggest concern
everybody has, like right away, like, well, why? They're crying or like they're latching all the time. Like they're obviously very hungry, but there's biological reasons other than hunger, right? That they're latching a lot in those first few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if like, if you really, really felt like you had to have a contingency, everyone's insurance covers a breast pump, including WIC and SNAP. They have breast pumps available. So like there, you could get a manual pump. There are so many options. So the first would be hand express and spoon feed. If you're in the hospital, everyone can do that. The next would be like pumping, but truly babies, their stomachs at that first couple weeks are so, so, so tiny. And it is normal for them to spend a lot of time practicing breastfeeding. And then I would be searching for help in the form of lactation care. You know what else is a fantastic resource is the La Leche League. They're completely free. Those groups are free. You can go. Those women know a ton about breastfeeding. They are the community breastfeeding support system that we used to have thousands of years ago, just in modern form. So there really are a lot of options. And I would be careful about like over outsourcing in that time because you might just make yourself a little cuckoo too. But at the same time, it can be helpful just to say like, I'm going to just get through this. Like we are going to breastfeed, you know, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to breastfeed. And like I said, there's so many steps before formula for sure.
And that La Leche League, they have a great book too. I think it's called The Motherly Art of Breastfeeding.
It's a great book.
It's a great book. I had a lactation consultant. My midwife was also a lactation consultant, but she had me get this book and it was so nice to just like, in those first few days, I would just like, they have visuals. I would just pop it open to whatever concern I had. And then like, I wouldn't even have to worry about calling my IBCLC. It was really a great book.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are so many options. And I think it just speaks to like, I had a post on Instagram that was very triggering for everyone, but it was pretty much like the women that breastfeed want to breastfeed and the women that don't, they didn't, like, you know, most of the time. And Taylor and I always talk about the box of very small people that like, that doesn't, like if you have IGT or like you had breast cancer, like, of course I'm not talking about those very unique situations. That's obviously very tragic, but for the most part, the women that breastfeed will breastfeed, like they just will do it. And it's a small number right now in the United States, but I meet these women and I'm like, of course you're going to breastfeed. Cause they're like, yeah, I've got the books. I'm ready. I'm going to do it. My cousin, actually, she came home from the hospital with her first and she had no idea that a lactation consultant was even a thing. She was like, I had never heard of that, but she got that book, Womanly Art of Breastfeeding, on Amazon. And she just, yeah, she was like, I was flipping through it like a textbook, like, how do I breastfeed this baby? And she just figured it out. And I just think that they live in a very, very rural town. So I don't think there was probably a lot of help anyway, but I just always think about her where it's like, no, we are going to breastfeed. And her reasons were financial. She was like, we can't afford to pay for formula. So like, we have to breastfeed. But yeah, she was like, I didn't even know a lactation consultant was a thing that people could do.
I think breastfeeding is like, it's I think women are so surprised. It's intuitive to want to breastfeed, but it's not necessarily intuitive, like, to know how to breastfeed. So, like, we're just, like, alone and have no support when it comes down to it. But we're, I know for the most of us want to be able to do it. And then it's just so easy to fall back on all those things we already talked about. It's, yeah, it's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle for sure.
Well, unfortunately, we just are not living the same way we used to, where it's like you watch your sisters and your cousins and your aunts have babies, and then they breastfeed those babies for an extended period of time, where it was like, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Like, we would learn and we would know intuitively back then what breastfeeding was like. But now we just don't see it. And even the women that are breastfeeding are doing it very privately, just per, like, societal expectations. And so we rarely see what it looks like to breastfeed. And I find it so interesting because my oldest now has watched not only me breastfeed my middle baby, but she's come to so many, she used to be my, like, tag along for work before I had a second. And she knows everything about breastfeeding. Like, and I've never, like, talked to her about it. She just knows, she understands intuitively what breastfeeding is. And I hope that that carries through, like, into her adult life. But I'm really curious to see, like, our daughter's generation. Jordan, I don't know if you have a boy or a girl, but, like, what that looks like for them, like, in the sense of, like home birth being very normalized, like, or even just natural birth being very normalized, breastfeeding being very normalized, staying home with your babies while they're little being very normalized. Like, I picture her just being like, of course, that's what I'm going to do. That's what my mom did. Where it might be more intuitive for that generation if we can just make a few subtle shifts. So I joke with a friend that I kind of feel like I live in an echo chamber sometimes. Like, I've really created a village of people that make a lot of very similar choices to me, people that parent their children similar. But at the same time, it's like, I kind of like my echo chamber for her, because then she's growing up seeing, like, all these, like, things and thinking that they are normal, and other people might not necessarily think that. We went to the playground the other day with her little friend, and my brother and sister had just had their baby, and she was telling her, like, oh, I have a cousin, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, they're giving her shots. And her friend goes, that's terrible. And we were like, shh, you can't say that at the playground. But it was so funny, because to them, it's just so normal. Like, all of this is very normal to them. And I'm really glad that I'm creating an environment where, like, things that are biologically in our DNA and in our, like, mammalian bloodline are normal to her, and not so, like, weird and kind of, like, hush hush, like it is, you know, amongst society.
That's so true. And I have a boy, but he is the same way. And I like, about shots, like, he will hear of, you know, like, there will be something on the TV that will say something about shots or whatever. And he, like, knows we don't do shots. Or same with one time he was literally mind blown that some kids don't sleep with their parents.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he, like, called them mean moms, because he was like, moms make their kids sleep in their own beds, like, even the babies. And I was just thinking, like, this is great for when he's older, though, and he's, like, trying to find a wife, because he's going to want the same morals, right? Yeah. We don't do shots. Like, my mom, we breastfeed, we, you know, co-sleep, we, you know, talk with kindness to our kids. And I'm just, like, in my head, I'm like, I'm subconsciously raising him to think that this should be the norm, but that this is the norm, and this is the standard that I will withhold. And I'm hoping when he chooses a wife one day, like, he is thinking of those standards and morals in his head of, like, this is the way we do things. And my son's dad and I aren't together. I'm married now to someone else that's not my son's dad. But even my son's dad, like, he has talked to me before about, like, if I do have kids again, like, there will be no shots. I won't do cry it out. Like, and it's just because he has, you know, he was around me raising our son, and that was the standard. I breastfed. We don't do shots. We don't do cry it out. And it's like, it's, I don't know, I guess it's kind of comforting to know that, like, people pick up on things.
They do.
And it becomes their norm too, which is, we need more of that. Like, we need more of, I don't know, just going back to the nature of how things are intended to be.
Absolutely.
I've been breastfeeding all over Oklahoma. Everybody's seen me breastfeed.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I am proud of that, honestly. I don't even care. And it's, like, beautiful too. My daughter's 15 months old, but it's like, for her, there's, like, no inhibitions, right? It's like, oh, booby now. Like they don't, it's just so natural and normal. And it's just so cool to see. And it's, I mean, it's sad that America's like that. And I know the rest of the world's probably in some places have it right, but we definitely don't.
Yeah. I agree. My kids, even, they're always naked outside, and like, they don't think anything of it. So now that my daughter's four and a half, I've been telling her, like, when grandpa comes over, I want you to just put underwear on. And she's like having a hard time. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm just naked. Like, just being naked is just like a normal thing I do. And so it's like, I don't want her to be naked when she's 12. But like, at the same time, I also don't want to like ruin what is a biologically normal thing for kids to have low inhibitions and like be, they were always naked, you know? And so like, it's just, it's interesting, but I do think that we're doing something so powerful. Like, there's like the trickle down effect of obviously the like quote bad things, like I said, like the consumer baby industry, like it could be just as powerful with the small choices that we're making as moms, with our work, with your podcast, with our work that we're doing of just bringing some awareness to like, these things might seem out of the ordinary based on modern standards, but they really aren't. And your body is probably, your intuition is probably asking you to do them. And so a lot of moms feel this, like, I kind of do want to sleep with my baby, but like, we're not supposed to. And like, I went through that. Yeah. I texted a friend when Sully was like, and she was very little. I was like, hey, Sully's sleeping in my bed. I don't know what to do. And she was like, my kids sleep in my bed. And I was like, oh, thank God. Okay. Like, because I didn't know. Like, I was like, oh, like, I feel like I'm like breaking a rule here. And now, like you said, like, she's like, we have a family bed and like, we set up the bed now so that the baby can join us. And she's like, I don't know, understand that why people would put their baby in a different room. Or even she's four and she's like, I'm not going to another room. Like, you know, I'm still four. I'm staying right here. So I am glad that we're like kind of bringing just a different level of awareness to things that I think moms really do want. They want the, at least the option to do these things without feeling bad or wrong.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to like cry it out and stuff. You hear moms like, oh my gosh, I just stood outside the door and cried. I'm like, yeah, because it's not right. It's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It feels wrong because it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad that we don't have the support. But okay, but what about, I know you're big into body work too. How does body work and breastfeeding like coincide?
Yeah, so that was a big part of my work. So I became a lactation consultant and I kind of had this ego of like, I'm going to go out there and save breastfeeding like for all these women. And I would go to people's houses and I just found myself like very handicapped by just lactation work. So like latch adjustments, and then pumping and bottle feeding stuff. Like, I just felt like I was like, I'm not really helping very much. And then I started to notice that a lot of the babies that were having trouble with breastfeeding, then like either they wouldn't breastfeed or they would go to pumping and bottle feeding, but they kind of retained some of the issues just like in new form. So like the mouth breathing, the very poor sleep, trouble with potty training, trouble with solid foods, very dysregulated, lots of tantrums. And I was like, they just have to be connected. There has to be something else going on. So I took a bodywork course and I really felt like that was the answer. And I still do think bodywork is a huge part of it, but really I do think a lot of it is the energetics between the mother-baby dyad and just the stress and anxiety that moms are kind of giving off and babies are totally taking it. And the only thing babies can do is like re-mirror back to us in a physical way. So like they have no emotional like complexities at that age. They only have physical things. That's why they cry. That's why they have like colicky symptoms. That's what like all of these things are simply a physical representation of like what's going on. And so same with the tightness. A lot of babies are so tight and that could be from something physical like poor positioning in utero, bad birth, swaddling, spending a lot of time in the car seats. And it can also be just a literal physical representation of just the anxiety and the tension in the home. But either way, the body work. So then my daughter, she was like 8 months old. I started playing with some like of my own stuff, just stuff I felt like she was trying to do, but wasn't. And so I was like playing with it. And ultimately that's how I created my body work course of like, really trying to open the babies up to give them like with a very lactation focused goal of like opening them up so that they have a lot of space between their chin and their chest so that they can bring their lower jaw forward and meet the breast tissue. And that really fixes most latches in most situations. So if we can just get babies into that more like open bodied posturing, then they breastfeed much better. So that's kind of how I created the work that I do now. And I do think it is super helpful, especially for breastfeeding stuff, but then also, like I said, it really translates to all this other stuff that comes up with the toddlers.
Do you think that the ties and getting ties fixed is like overdone? Because I feel like that's just the only solution that we're getting. Like, for example, that's what I got when I took my son, and it was just like, oh, he probably has ties. But nobody really gave me like steps to go forward. And by that point, he was almost two. So I was like, I'll just finish out pumping. But I feel like so many people just go to the ties right away. What is your stance on that?
Yeah, it's definitely overused. I think women at this point that we are in a society of like needing something to do, like we need something physical to fix a situation so that we feel safety and comfort. And the frenectomy situation has just become so, like, the information out there is very strong now, where it's like, if your baby does not breastfeed, you should go get a frenectomy. And there are a lot of lactation consultants that really strongly believe in the frenectomy process. So it's being perpetuated. And unfortunately, not that frenectomies are bad in any way. Number one, it doesn't fix the problem if the problem is something else, like a body issue. Number two, if the situation is, and this is the like foundation of my work and my beliefs, if the situation is being caused by stress, like stress and energetics of the mom and of the home, going and having a painful surgery, it is painful for the babies, and then coming home and doing painful post-procedure exercises for 6 weeks is not going to help the situation. In fact, it's probably going to make it worse. And so we have moms that are extremely vulnerable, that are really stressed, that are trying to save breastfeeding desperately, and then we're adding this huge stressor onto them in the form of doing this surgery. So it's such a bummer. I wish there was, I think there will be better information coming out in the next few years, but people got really excited about it as like a quick fix for a while and then just started pushing it like that. Now I do think more people are saying, like, if you're going to do the frenectomy, although they're still pushing it, to do body work ahead of time, which is better than nothing. But still, we're not asking moms what they want. Like, I think that that's probably the biggest issue is, like, we're not giving them the information of, like, what the tongue tie is, what the body is doing, and then asking, what do you want from this situation? So whenever I have a client that is asking me, should I go get a frenectomy? I'm like, well, what are your goals? Like, is your goal to save breastfeeding? Because I can promise you we can save it without that. So if your goal is something else, like, let's explore that. And then let's talk about like what that looks like. And then if you do decide to get the frenectomy, let's make a really good plan. Let's like really, really root your family. Let's get everyone prepared. Let's watch lots of videos on what the post-procedure exercises look like so that you don't come home with a crying baby and then just be like, oh my God, this is horrible. Like, let's be prepared and make a really informed and planned out decision. And then those situations, it goes really, really well. And usually what I like to describe it as is like, we make a cake and then like the frenectomy is like the candles on the top. Like, it's like the last little bitty thing that we do to tie everything together. It is never the cake. Like, the cake is all the other stuff. And I have a whole like thing that I take women through that like ultimately they come and I never present it as like, well, you could get a frenectomy, because that like to them that's like, oh, either I just keep suffering, is their language, through this until it gets better, or I go get the frenectomy. I'm going to go get the frenectomy. And that's not like fair to paint that picture for women, that that's what the like two options are. So what I say is, let's do all of these things that I know are going to serve you and your baby. Let's give it 2 weeks and really create a strong foundation. And then let's reevaluate. And if you want to make the decision to do a frenectomy, then we can absolutely talk about that. So I think it just gives women a little bit more freedom. Like, they're not backed into a corner.
It's kind of like what you said too. We want something to do, but it's like, we also want like quick fixes. We don't want to like put in the long haul work. And so I think, yeah, it's definitely an easy thing to fall back on. And there's just not a whole lot of easy, accessible information for women who don't know any different.
Yeah, which is sad too, because especially when you want it to be a quick fix and then you don't get that outcome that you're looking for, like the devastation. And then that's, I get a lot of messages of like, I already did the frenectomy. I feel so bad about it. It didn't even help. Like, should I still buy your bodywork course? And it's like, I don't know. Like, that's a decision for you to make. And you can give yourself a lot of grace in knowing like, those were the options presented to you, and the way they present it makes it seem like I should go do the frenectomy. So there's no shame and judgment. It's just like, I would like to present, and I don't do a lot of like appointments as much anymore. So I'm not on like, you know, like I'm not on the ground with the women. And I would like to be, because I think that that's an important part of this work, but I just don't have the capacity for it right now. So I try and just do it on Instagram of like educating women, like, you have time. Nothing is an emergency. Give yourself 2 weeks, especially, I mean, babies, they have a very, very, like, they're very adaptable. They change very fast. They're very dynamic. So like, you don't, if you get the information that they have a tongue tie today, you do not need to go tomorrow. Like, I remember one of my best friends that I worked labor and delivery with had her second baby, and her first couldn't breastfeed. She said it was the whole story. And so I had already become a lactation consultant. She asked me to come see her. And this is before I learned about the bodywork piece, but I referred her to a bodywork place in our area. And she called me and she was like, hey, thanks so much for sending me there. I think they did a great job. I'm leaving and I'm on my way to Dr. Funny's office for a frenectomy. And I was like, you're on your way where? Like, she said, yeah, they said that they did some body work on him, so now we can just pop over and go get the frenectomy. And I was like, whoa, like, you have time. Like, go home and make a plan. And she ended up getting the frenectomy, but it was like a whole month later. We did all this stuff. He had a great outcome. But I just thought it was so interesting that it was like, your baby has a tongue tie, therefore, like, off you go get it done. And what a huge, like, disservice that would have been to her and her family to just, like, throw them into that situation without any preparation.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I think this was a great conversation. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm at The Love of Breastfeeding on Instagram. And I'm kind of closing up shop. Like you said, I'm, like, walking into baby time, but my course is always available, and there's lots of really good information on my Instagram and my website as well.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was great.
Yes. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered. Bothered.